Good morning. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhofer and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum. Would you please join me in opening with our Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Probably even more meaningful this week than most weeks due to the Veterans Day holiday coming up. I don't have any opening comments, I don't believe. Commissioner Haugenhofer, do you?
No, I do not.
Commissioner Fedorchek? Okay. Anything coming up next week?
Not much.
Or maybe we want to talk about that in a future meeting.
I haven't really decided.
Maybe I will. Anyway.
I thought we'd do a news release after the fact.
Okay, so we will move right into our agenda, and we have four items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those, as well as the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Second.
Oh, go ahead, Sherry. Seconded by Sherry.
You'll get plenty of chances.
Yes.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. Commissioner Haugenhofer, you have some regular agenda items, so I'll turn
it
over to you.
Yeah, looks like it's all about me today.
What else is new?
Thank you. It's on the record. I move the commission adopt the order on electric service area agreement and certification of public convenience and necessity in Northern Plains Electric Cooperative, City of Mattock, Mattock, North Dakota Service Area Agreement Case Number PU23-244 and Northern Plains Electric Cooperative, Mattock, North Dakota Public and Convenience Necessity Case Number PU-23-262.
Second.
Thank you. So on June 26th, Northern Plains Electric Cooperative and the City of Mattock filed a joint application for approval of a service area agreement to designate service locations to be served by Northern Plains and the City of Mattock within the City of Mattock. And so they requested an assurance of a certificate of public convenience and necessity. On August 2nd, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing, and no responses were received. The joint application for approval for the service area agreement was filed, according to North Dakota Central Code 49-03-06, and it provides that an electric provider may enter into an agreement with another electrical providers having adjacent or intermingled electric service facilities for the purpose of establishing service areas and designating the service location to be served by each electrical provider. So that seems kind of jumbled and complex, but when we looked at this a little further, and I want to really credit staff for digging into this on some of the, looking at the North Dakota Century Code, the North Dakota Century Code 49.03.01.51 states that an electric provider means either an electric public utility or a rural electric cooperative. The definition does not extend to a municipal power supplier. So with that, we have no jurisdiction, and this commission orders that the joint application for approval of the service area agreement between Northern Plains Electric Cooperative and the City of Mattock is dismissed. And just to let you know that the staff did follow up with both of the entities and explained that, so they're aware of it. So I support this order that we have no jurisdiction in this case be dismissed.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will just say, I don't really have any opinion one way or the other really on it, but in less than a year from now, when we get to legislative discussions, we might want to take up this topic. I don't know if that definition that, you know, clarifies that it would just be a cooperative or one of the jurisdictional companies. I don't know if that's an oversight on the legislature's part or if they intended for this to be the case, that in the case of a municipal and a cooperative, they would not need our approval of changes in boundary lines. Mm-hmm. But it might, I think we should discuss it when we're doing legislative potential proposals. Maybe either submit a bill or at least point it out to some legislators that have shown an interest in these kinds of issues, that if they want us to have oversight of this, they would need to change that definition.
Mm-hmm. I think it would also be, excuse me, go ahead.
Sure.
I think it would be to get some input too from the stakeholders on where they're at. I mean, if they have, see where the interest lies on it.
Well, the legislative process would certainly provide them an opportunity to engage to, you know, probably on the policy matters. I was thinking the point that a municipality can have more than one franchise agreement too. So that doesn't, because they're establishing their service territory, doesn't mean that both the co-op and the investor-owned utility couldn't have a franchise agreement to serve within it.
Right.
So there's that element as well to add to the confusion. Anyway.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion's approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Badlands Contracting LLC Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-23-263.
Second.
Thank you. On July 7th, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from One Oak, Rockies Mountains Midstream LLC, alleging a violation by Badlands Contracting LLC. As a damage prevention case comes in, when staff receives that complaint, the staff send out a letter to the one the alleged violation is against. And once we receive that, they evaluate it. So looking at what occurred is on July 3rd of 2023, Badlands provided a one-call notice to the North Dakota one-call center with a work date to begin on July 7th to repair a water line valve leak in Kildare, North Dakota. And a ticket number was assigned. On July 5th, a One Oak operator arrived at the site, identified on the ticket to conduct a locate, and observed Badline was already performing the work. The One Oak operator instructed Badlands to stop work and then complete the locate. So after receiving the response to the letter from Badlands, they believe that Badlands, based on the evidence, did violate North Dakota Century Code by beginning an excavation before receiving notice that all facilities had been located and cleared. So looking at the consent agreement is between Badlands and the PSC, and what it is doing is Badlands is being assessed a civil penalty of $500, which $250 is suspended on the condition that they do not commit any further violations within 5 years of the date, that they will submit the $250 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 days of the order. And they reached a full agreement, and I am in support of this consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So I... What's on?
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I apologize for putting everybody on the spot here, because I'd read this over and I just thought it seemed fine, and now I've had an additional thought. I assume in that one-call law that there's an exception to having to call and locate things for the utilities. If something is broken, they don't wait 2 or 3 days.
There's an emergency.
Yeah. So if Elkin Water, I don't know what Elkin Water is, but had they fixed this themselves? I mean, their water line was leaking. Well, I don't know if that is, if that's the difference, because it's water instead of oil or gas that's leaking. But certainly an oil and gas company could go in and in an emergency fix their line. I presume if it was Southwest Water or some really enormous pipeline, that we wouldn't just let it, and a huge eruption, that we wouldn't make them just sit and let it bleed for 3 days or 2 days. And so is the difference that this, that they hired a contractor instead of doing it themselves, or is it because it's water, not oil and gas? Or I'm curious, and I can follow up with staff too, I guess, unless, well, someone Conrad knows too. The answer.
I'm not a radiologist. Can you repeat the question? I might have missed some of that.
Well, this is the Badlands Contracting damage prevention case. And I don't think it's anything in the paperwork that's the issue. But I got to thinking, just as Commissioner Haugenhofer was explaining it, and I'm certain that there's an exception in the one-call law, like for, say, an oil and gas company. We wouldn't just let a oil pipeline leak for 2 days before they could go in and dig it up and fix it. And is the difference here because this is water as opposed to oil and gas, or is this because Elkin Water hired a contractor to do it instead of doing it themselves? But why couldn't they fix their water line right away?
The difference comes in, and what you're referring to is the emergency locate notice, where you can, if in the event of an emergency, they can put a locate request in that we've got to fix this now. And so in that situation, this was not an emergency locate request. So there's a specific ticket they have to submit to say, let everybody know this is an emergency locate.
Oh, okay.
And any contractor or any company can do that. They can submit that ticket. This was submitted as a more of a general locate ticket. So in that case, it doesn't fit under the emergency section.
God, thank you for explaining that.
Yeah, no problem.
Spur of the moment. I should have thought of that question Friday when I got the information. Thank you.
Since you brought it up, when it is an emergency, what happens with the locates? Like, do they have to get out faster? Or they can't just proceed without locating in any circumstance, can they?
What they would do is they'd submit the ticket that we've got an emergency out here. And then the operators, you know, to their best of their ability, are going to either reach out to the contractor, or they're going to be able to send a locator out there, typically within an hour if they can,
okay,
to do that. But a lot of that conversation would happen over the phone too, like, okay, what's the emergency? Where exactly are you digging at? Okay, our line is 100 feet to the south of your present location. So they can have a lot of communication such as that via the phone.
Well, they won't on the phone. Those people don't know where every line is.
The operator would know the general vicinity of some of their items in that sense. I'm thinking like, you know, more of your larger pipeline operators.
So, but they're calling the one call place, not the individual operators.
They're calling the one call, putting the ticket in. Then that ticket gets sent out to the operators. The operators locator, the locators, then they have the phone number of the contractor, and they can reach out.
They can or they have to?
They can. And they're going to have some type of response.
What if they don't?
It's going to be the operator's best interest. Well, in that event, if someone were to strike something under an emergency ticket, it would not be a violation of the law.
Do they have a certain amount of time they have to wait to give the operators a chance to call and say, here's where our stuff is?
I don't believe there's a certain time requirement in under
an
emergency ticket.
Once it's an emergency, they can just go ahead.
Provided they filed their locate request.
Oh,
in that. So, okay. And then the determination would be, we've had a situation where an entity files an emergency ticket and we've investigated and found out it was not an emergency in that sense. And so, you know, there you may have a violation.
Sure. I think we've had it where they filed an emergency ticket after the fact, too.
And that doesn't count either. Yeah. You've got to submit the volunteer request ahead of time.
It was an emergency.
Oh, we promise. So.
But that's investigated thoroughly.
Absolutely.
Of course it is.
Good timing. You walked in the door right on time.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Border States Paving Incorporated Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-23-279.
Second.
So on July 27th, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from New Star alleging a violation by Border States. Again, the procedure, once we receive it, the staff sends out a letter to the alleged violator. And then once we receive the response, it is further investigated. And a consent agreement has been reached. But here's what happened is on July 21st, Border State was conducting pavement repair along the manhole lid frame ring replacement in Fargo, North Dakota. And there were 6 work locations, with each having a 15 square feet of 7-inch thick asphalt removed. The locator arrived to the location and observed Border State working within 17 feet of the New Star 10-inch steel petroleum line. So staff, after talking with Border State, it was determined that Border State did not have a valid excavation notice. Border State stopped working until locate requests could be placed. based upon the investigation, I mean, Border State very clearly took responsibility that they began working in the area before they should have. they do not dispute the facts, you know, that they violated it. And so based on that, a consent agreement was reached between Border State and the PSC, and Border State is assessed a civil penalty of $500 with $250 suspended on the condition that they do not commit any further violations within 5 years. They will submit their $250 civil penalty payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 days. In the event the commission finds Border State violated any further violations within 5 years, they shall remit the suspended portion of the penalty and then any additional fines imposed on the subsequent violations. With the consent agreement, I do support the agreement that has been reached.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in the Otter Tail Power Company Administrative Tariff Change in Rate Schedule, Tariff Case Number PU-23-290.
Second.
On August 17th, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for approval to change the rate schedule 14.02 and 14.03 to close the rate that are using real-time pricing and system marginal energy pricing for new customers. On September 6th, the commission did issue a notice of opportunity, and no response was received. We did have an informal with them on this to discuss this. Otter Tail wants to close this real-time pricing rate for new customers while it evaluates new software to replace the current software, which reaches its end of life in 2025. Right now, Otter Tail has one customer currently utilizing these rates. But they just, like I said, for efficiency, they want to close this out. They're working on new terminology, and they're hoping to have it implemented by in 2025. So after listening to them and hearing their rationale, we find that Otter Tail's proposed tariff revisions are reasonable and prudent, and we support that, and so do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Okay, and that ends our regular agenda. Just a couple of announcements. This afternoon, we have informal hearings with NSP in case 23307. That's a meter reading tariff and rates. And then after that, we'll go into another informal with MDU in case 23294. And that's the gas tariff rates for the Kindred area that's being added. Just a kind of a noteworthy one, because it's the first one that we're really working through with the new process on integrated resource plans. On November 20th at 1:30, we'll have an informal hearing with Otter Tail on their IRP. That's case 21380. And then the last thing I just point out, our next regular commission meeting is November 29th at the regular time, but that's a three-week gap, so I wanted to point that out. I don't have any other announcements. So,
may I offer two things first that I should have probably said at the front end? But on a housekeeping matter, I'm going to be doing the afternoon meetings from home. Because I am shortly thereafter leaving for D.C. to testify and at FERC tomorrow, for their technical conference they're having on reliability issues. They're spending the morning talking with several panels of experts from around the country, including RTO, grid operators, and utility execs, sort of, and NERC, talking about what is the status right now, what are the concerns regarding reliability. And then in the afternoon, they've got two panels of folks from around the country. I'm on one of those panels talking about impacts of the EPA's proposed new greenhouse gas regulations. So I'm excited to talk about these issues. I've been working with Jack, Stacy, and Victor on my comments. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that this was coming up. And really, we'll be focusing on the concerns that we already know exist with tightness in the utility sector. The system nationwide is already stressed. NERC has already said that two-thirds of the country is facing a reality where, under certain conditions, if demand is high and wind and solar resources are not producing, we could very well be short of having enough power to serve customers' needs. So that's our status today without any EPA rules. And the EPA rules, this is the third in a series of new stringent rules affecting fossil fuel dispatchable resources that are going to make what is already a tight electric system and a dangerous setup for winter even worse. And so I'm glad FERC is asking for comments. I don't know what they plan to do with them. The time for comment with EPA has passed. But at least the FERC is asking for these comments and can use them. I personally hope that they just support what their utilities or the RTOs that they oversee already saying, because the RTOs filed some very strong comments with the EPA on these proposed rules. So that's what I'll be doing tomorrow. And I'm going to have to, because I left my computer at home this morning, I have to go home and get it. And I don't have enough time to go home and back and forth again and get to the airport. So I'm just going home, doing the meetings from there, and then heading to the airport.
Would you like us to explain that to the utilities, or are you going to?
I don't need to go into all that. Do you think they care?
Well, I
think... That I'm not there in person.
I think it's just good to point out that... I don't know, maybe not. It's up to you.
All right, I'll see. If it feels awkward that I'm not here in person, I will.
Okay.
Otherwise, I won't waste everybody's time.
I do appreciate your willingness to do that. It's, in my opinion, quite a sacrifice anytime anyone goes to Washington, D.C.
Yes, I have questioned my sanity in doing this. But
when you were talking, it got me to thinking, so we've long talked about the threats in these times of greatest need if solar and wind don't produce as hoped. But we're living a new reality where a lot of people are finding out that the same can happen. A lot of the newer natural gas plants, transmission operators did not take into consideration time constraints on their operations because of EPA rules.
Correct.
And so it's turning out that some of them can't produce as much as, not hoped necessarily, but as much as transmission operators planned on them being available. And that is a potential huge problem.
And that is a huge problem. And we've seen that this summer where we've heard from MISO that they've had to actually check in with the utilities to say, can you get an exception from the EPA because you're bumping up on your time limits on your discharge facilities into rivers that were too warm. And so they have to get in an emergency additional clearance from the EPA, which is no way to be running our system. The other thing that we didn't plan on and we know is a problem and has been two winters, the Uri and the Elliott, big problems with just the coordination between the gas industry and the electric industry and the supply. Our supply system for natural gas was never designed to feed electric generation units. It just wasn't built that way. The market doesn't work that way. And so they're not aligned to provide the gas that's needed in the time that it's needed at the amounts that it's needed today to back up all of this renewable generation if it doesn't show up. So we've got a lot of big issues to work out right now before we proceed with further tangling the coal and gas units with additional requirements that are, quite honestly, threatened to make the utilities just want to walk away from them because it's a huge investment to bring them up to speed in the ways that the EPA wants them to be environmentally, and then to not know how much they're even going to run, and so it's a big mismatch, and it has to get straightened out before we continue proceeding, full speed ahead like folks want, many folks and many states, apparently want to proceed.
Yep. Okay. Anything else?
I just want to add one thing, not regarding that. Randy, you mentioned it briefly, and with the holiday coming upon us, honoring our veterans, I know we have veterans on our staff. I want to thank each and every one of you for your service, but as we go forward to this holiday, let us remember those who have in the past served and those who are serving, and take time to really focus on this holiday that I think sometimes gets passed over, but for the freedoms we have, I want to thank each and every one of our servicemen and women out there. So, and I know all of us here feel that way. So.
Good point. Okay, with that, we will stand in recess for questions from the press.